Well, our reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, which can be found on page 1177 in the church Bibles, which should be near you. Page 1177, Ephesians chapter 6. We're just reading the first four verses together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Do take a seat, everyone. And if you can be, if you've closed it, opening your Bibles again to Ephesians 6, which is page 1177, and we're doing a little bit of dotting around this evening, so do memorise 1177, because if you lose your place, that's where you need to get back to. For those of you who don't know me, I'm AJ, I'm the youth and children's worker here, and it's a great privilege, really, to be preaching on this passage, one that's very dear to my heart, not just in the role that I have here, but the role that I have at home. And so I pray that for all of us, wherever stage we're at this evening, this would be a blessing to you. But I want to start before we dive in with this picture. And the picture is to describe to you that it's never about eating your broccoli. In a loud discussion between child and parent, the battle that is being fought is not the presenting one. It's not about eating your broccoli. It's what's going on in here. It's the heart. It's all about obedience and submission. Will the child obey and submit to my authority? And it's a battle because you and I have hearts that don't want to obey and don't want to submit to authority. That's why you and I don't, by nature, want to obey God. And that's why, by nature, children don't want to obey their parents. It's amazing, really. We teach our children lots and lots of things, but for some reason, we don't have to teach our children to disobey. It just seems to come naturally. And so as we come to this passage about honoring Jesus in the home, we are walking, friends, into a battlefield. A battlefield where all the competitors, whether it's parents or children, are sinners who want to be in charge, who want to win. And yet I want us to see that by God's grace, that battle for our hearts can be won. As children, when we obey and honor our parents in the home, we are obeying and submitting to our Heavenly Father. And as parents, when we seek to train and instruct our children in the home, we obey and submit to our Heavenly Father too. And yet I'm aware that our experience of families, whether it's here in the building or you guys online, has been very different. And so at this point, why don't I pray that whatever our experience has been, God, by his grace, would speak to us. Let's pray together. Father God, you know our home life. You know our history. You know our feelings as we come to something like this. Thank you that you know. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you love. And so, Father, wherever we're at in this particular area, whatever our experience has been, please, by your grace and your spirit, help us to submit to you, to submit to your word, and to see the blessing that it is to obey and submit to our Heavenly Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here we go, everyone. First thing, which comes in verse 1. It's no surprise it's there, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now notice firstly that at this point in the letter, children are being spoken to by the Apostle Paul with adults present. So I'm guessing their children haven't been brought back in from young church to hear these three verses before being sent out to their groups again. I think we can safely assume that when this letter was being read, they were present for the whole reading of this letter. And so it's worth making the point that it's so important that children are in church with their parents, so that along with their church family, they are hearing and responding to God's word together. That's why our times in the morning services before the children go out to the young church are so precious. It's not the bit where we put up with children being there with their noise and their snacks that we secretly want and the fidgeting before we get some peace and quiet and can focus on God. No. This is where children are seeing modeled what it's like for children to meet, for Christians to meet together, pray together, sing together, hear and respond to God's word together. That's why we have family slots in the morning where we hear and respond to God's word together and thank the Lord for those guys who prepare them week by week. It's why when our young people reach that 11 to 14 group called Focus, they start to alternate between being in church one week and in their group the next. Because the goal of young church is not to keep children out of church. It's to partner with parents to equip them and encourage them so that by God's grace, their children and young people will see how precious meeting together is. So that by God's grace, when they get to 13 and 14, they want to be in church for the whole time with their parents and with their church family. That's why children being here tonight in the evening service is so great. To children, Paul says, obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. So that little phrase, in the Lord, let's think about that for a moment or two. Children are to obey their parents, Paul says, because it's what it looks like to obey Jesus. So in response to a command, when a child says, why should I? The answer is more than just because I said so. The answer is more like because Jesus says so. You see, children please their heavenly father by obeying their earthly father and mother. And it's only when obeying your parents would cause you to displease your heavenly father, whether that's to sin or to renounce your faith in Jesus, that that option to disobey becomes available. That's what that phrase, in the Lord, is all about. And we know that for some, in some countries, especially when Christians have converted from Islam, this is a really painful and harsh reality, isn't it? Which sometimes ends up with Christian children being killed by their family because of their desire to obey and honor their Heavenly Father. Notice finally why Paul calls children to obey their parents in the Lord at the end of verse 1. For this is right. Even with the caveats that we've mentioned in mind, it is a universal truth that obeying parents is right. And disobeying parents is therefore wrong. And the reason Paul gives us leads us to this second command he gives children in verses 2 and 3, where he says this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So whilst the nature of obeying your parents may change as you leave home and you have that independence from them, the nature of honoring your parents doesn't. And notice that quote in verse 2 and 3 comes from Deuteronomy, where God is telling his people that honoring your father and mother is part of the good life. The good life that God gave his people in the Old Testament as he called them to live as his people. And notice the wonderful promise that's attached to this command at verse 3. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. See, in the Bible, obedience always brings blessing. It's a constant theme. That as we obey and submit to our Heavenly Father and the authorities that he gives us, it brings blessing. And I guess we've seen that from experience. I don't know if you've had that situation where you've seen a family where parents are honored and obeyed and children have submitted to that authority. When we see that, it is a beautiful thing. It brings blessing and stability. And one of the reasons, of course, for that is it's rooted in one of the most fundamental relationships that God has within himself. Our God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that father-child relationship that we see expressed in families points us to the relationship that God the Father has with God the Son. So this is where you need to do your Bible flicking. Keep your finger in Ephesians 6 and turn back with me to John chapter 5. I just want to show you a few ways in which Jesus sought to do this, how he sought to honor and obey his Heavenly Father. Got a few to flick through. So John chapter 5, verse 38, which is page 1069. John 6:38, page 1070. I looked at it and thought, this is not the one. This is not the one. This is going to take us somewhere else. John 6:38, page 1070. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." The will of the Father who sent me. Flick forward to John 12:50. Let's see if this reference is right. That's page 1080. And it's John 12:49, so I'm all over the place. Here we go. John 12:49, so that's page 1080. It's again Jesus speaking. And he says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Keep going with me in John. Going to do a couple more. Page 1085. This is John 17:4. This is Jesus' prayer, praying to his Father. And he says, page 1085, John 17:4, he says to his Heavenly Father, "I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And that work is outlined by Paul in Philippians 2, where he talks about how Jesus, being found in appearance as man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that's just Jesus submitting to his Heavenly Father. In Luke's gospel, we're told that Jesus submitted to his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. And at the end of his life, he honored his mother at his death by making sure her needs and care were looked after. We can go back to Ephesians 6 now, everyone. Jesus models for us what it looks like to honor not only our parents, but our Heavenly Father. And so, as Paul then comes back to Ephesians 6, he calls us, whether young or old, to honor our earthly mothers and fathers. And yet, maybe this line is going through your head at this moment. Man, that's hard. I mean, it's one thing to honor your perfect, wise, glorious, gracious, loving Heavenly Father. It's another thing to honor your earthly, imperfect, sinful parents. And yet Paul's command to honor our parents is not based on what they're like. We don't honor our parents because they're perfectly wise and gracious and loving. We honor them because our Heavenly Father, who has adopted us into his family, as we've seen in Ephesians, is perfectly wise and gracious and loving and calls us to obey him. And whilst the dynamics of the family home may change as you get older, our parents are still our God-given parents. And so we're called to respect their wisdom and views, even if we don't agree with them. We're called to care for them, whether that's practically or physically or financially. We're to be wise about how we speak about them, especially in front of others. And yet those words may be going through your head again. Man, that's hard. In this room and perhaps watching online, we would have had a very wide variety of experiences of families and parent relationships. Some of us may have had the experience of parents not treating you very well. perhaps even in an abusive relationship. And if that's been your experience tonight, I am so sorry that you've had that experience. What you've experienced is wrong. But please know that if that has been your experience, your Heavenly Father knows about it. He understands it. He cares about you. He's angry and hurt at what has happened to you. And wonderfully, he's here to comfort, to restore, to heal. And so if that is you, if that has been your experience and you haven't done it already, please turn to him tonight. Share your pain and suffering with him. And wonderfully, he provides not just himself, but a church family who can help you walk through that experience. Others may have had parents who aren't Christians, and so see life from a completely different viewpoint. And yet we're still called to honor them. And this is where, for me, this command to honor my parents becomes really hard. My parents aren't Christians yet. They divorced when I was 18. There's a 3 or 4 year window of my life where I cannot or choose not to remember family life. I can't remember having any contact with my mum in that time. I can't remember if she was there for my 18th birthday. Our family relationships are now strained. My mum and dad can't be in the same room as each other. They don't contact each other. The last time they were in the same room was when Jen and I got married 14 years ago, and that was a struggle then. And as both of my parents have moved on and got remarried, there's tensions around stepfamilies and brothers and sisters and how you relate to them. What do you call them? Then there's explaining what's happened to our children and seeing what's happened in your family in the new light of being a father and processing all that. Then there's how you plan Christmas or birthdays or family visits and who sees who when. Then I think most painfully, it's the truth that they just don't understand me and who I am and what I believe. And yet into all that, I remember firstly that God understands all that. He sees the brokenness of my family. And yet in his grace, he reminds me that honoring my parents is not based on whether my parents deserve it or not. And so when I pick up the phone to call my parents, which I should do more often, or I take the initiative to organize a visit to see them, which I should do more often, or I'm faithful to the Lord in praying for them, their needs and their salvation, which again, I should do more often. When I do those things, that pleases my Heavenly Father. That is part of what it means to live a life of love, to be his child. And when our families are broken, isn't it wonderful that God gives us the blessing of church family? What a precious thing it is for me to look out at you guys gathered here and all the guys who come in the morning and to know this is my church family. That whoever you are tonight, you can be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandparents to one another. We can be that Christian family that we might not have experienced in our earthly families. And I know and have experienced it myself that there are so many examples of that in this church family. And it's been a huge blessing to me and I'm sure to others. And so tonight, whatever our family situation is, praise God that in that brokenness that we experience, we have a Heavenly Father who gives us this wonderful gift of his family. The church, so that we can experience something of the love and security and care that he has for each one of us. Paul calls children to obey their parents, to honor their parents. But secondly, Paul closes this little section with a specific command to parents, and we see that in verse 4, where Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So two commands, one positive, one negative. Don't exasperate your children, the negative. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, the positive. And I think in a sense, both of those commands link to what Paul has said to the children just before. That parents can help or hinder their children as they seek to honor them and obey them. And so let's look firstly at the negative, because it comes first. Oh, you're there already. Parents, don't exasperate. Do take that back. Thank you. Now, notice the NIV footnote at the beginning of verse 4. If you follow the little B down, it gives an alternative translation to fathers as being parents. And whilst it's true that that command to not exasperate your children and to bring them up in the training of the instruction of the Lord is a responsibility to both parents, it seems to me that there's a note to us as fathers that just as we are to take the lead in marriage, so we are to take the lead in training our children and young people in the home, even if that still means that mum spends more time with them. And again, when there is no dad in the home, this is once again when we can experience the blessing of church being a family. And so if you're a guy here, this could be a role for you, to be that positive male role model for a family where perhaps there's no dad present. And women here, even if you don't have children yourself or your children have grown up, there's a role here for you too, to be a spiritual role model for families where perhaps there's no mum present. Notice the blessing that a church family can be. Now, Paul's command here is to not exasperate your children. That's a big word, so I had to kind of work out what that means. And it means, I think, to not stir up anger within children or to not provoke them. Now, this can't mean that our children aren't going to get angry with us. You might be able, if you're a parent, to recall the classic temper tantrum from one of your children when all you've done is ask them to come to the table for food, which you've cooked for them, by the way. And so when Paul talks about exasperating our children, I think he means something different. I think he means the times when we cause them to stumble by treating them harshly or unfairly, or the times when we put unrealistic expectations on them, expectations we wouldn't even put on ourselves. Perhaps it's the times when we're not sensitive to their needs, which do change in the different seasons of life. Perhaps it's those times where we humiliate them by speaking about them or treating them harshly in front of others. All of those things make it harder for our children to obey us and honor us. But they also mean that we fail to point them to our Heavenly Father, who seeks to build up rather than to tear down, and who treats us with grace and kindness rather than harshness and humiliation. And I've been challenged by this week that is something that I do sometimes with my children at home. And perhaps as parents, one of our takeaways tonight is that we need to be better at saying sorry to our children for the times that we've done that, which models what it looks like to seek forgiveness and to experience the joy of forgiveness that God brings. But finally, positively, Paul calls fathers to bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's what's going on in the end of verse 4. That word training has a sense of discipline and education and nurture. That word instruction carries this idea of warning. And so simply put, Paul commands fathers and by extension mothers to nurture their children in educating and training and disciplining their children so that they, by God's grace, come to know and love the Lord for themselves. So I think we can infer from that verse that the primary responsibility for that happening, for nurturing and educating and training, is on the parents. And in this book, God has given us the toolkit that we need to do that. So in the everyday situations of life that come up, we can use God's word to speak about Him with our children. As we apply it to the highs and lows of family life, as we sing it, as we pray it, as we listen to it together. It's this word that governs how we do discipline, that it's rooted in the character of God, and therefore it is gracious and restorative and fair. And again, note the beginning of verse 4, that whilst both parents, of course, are to be involved, Paul does address fathers. And so for those of us who are dads here this evening, are we taking the lead in this? Do we know what training and instruction of the Lord is going on at home with our kids, even if we can't always be there? Do we know how it's going? And when we are present at home, are we engaged with it? Are we taking a lead in it? Or are we thinking about what's going on at work? What have I just left? What am I going out to? What football match is coming on? Are we as dads taking the initiative for what we might be doing next with our family in our Bible times? And if you're sitting there tonight and thinking, goodness me, that's overwhelming, AJ, then I have good news for you. You're not alone. Because that's again where the blessing of church family comes in. Our role as church is to partner with you and support you as you seek to do that. So that's why we're thinking through launching a youth and children's bookstall at the beginning of next year to help resource families better in the training and instruction of their children. That's why our evening seminars in January and February next year will be helping family Bible times and encouraging our children as they're in church each week. Sometimes it will mean signposting to others who are seeking to do just that. That Oak Hill evening on mental health this coming Thursday, I'm pretty sure it won't be too late to sign up for that on Zoom. Another opportunity for us to think through what it looks like to nurture our children. And we can praise God for all those who do that already in church, whether that's part of the youth and children's ministry, or whether it's just that natural, informal, getting alongside each other. And whoever you are tonight, you can have a role to play in supporting families in this. Is there a family you could be getting to know and getting alongside and encouraging? If you're parents with older teenagers, could you be encouraging and getting alongside parents with younger children and encouraging them? Usually with something like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Seniors, you guys, and Phil, you guys have a part to play in this, not just in role modeling what it looks like to follow Jesus in later life, but in prayer. Is there a family that we could be committing to praying for each week in church? We as a church family have got this great responsibility to support families in this church as they seek to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And yet, as we close, we must remember that ultimately the results of all that training, all that instruction, all that warning, all that discipline are in our Heavenly Father's hands. Whilst our duty as parents is to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord, we cannot make them Christians. Only God can change the heart. We cannot decide for them. And as we reflect on this as parents, we will not have done this perfectly. We will all have made mistakes in this area, some of which may still be very painful. I guess there will be some of us for whom we have children who at this point have turned their back on Jesus. We may be experiencing feelings of shame and guilt and even blame. And where there are faults and there are feelings like that, isn't it wonderful that we have a loving Heavenly Father that we can turn to? One who can take all those feelings of blame and shame and guilt upon himself and give us freedom and forgiveness. And so if that's you tonight or you watching online, why not bring those feelings to the Lord? And as you do that, trust him with the souls of your children. Persevere in praying for them. Witnessing to them of the love of the Heavenly Father who can change hearts and can have mercy on them. Tonight, Paul gives us a high calling as a church. For us as children to honor and obey our parents. For us as parents to not exasperate our children as we bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I hope two things have become evidently clear as we've looked at this. One is, we need God's grace. We need God's grace. And secondly, we need help. We need church family. And so what a great opportunity I'm about to give you. Because I'm going to put some points up on the screen. And I guess whoever we are either a child or a parent. And so we have something with which to think about and pray about. And so some points are going to come up on the screen. Love you to think about those for the people around you. It might be praying something from what we've looked at tonight. It might be that you're not comfortable praying and you just want to think through what this looks like for you in your family life. But let's take a few moments as some music is played to pray and make use of the wonderful church family that God's given us. Let's do that now, then I'll come up and tell us what's going to happen next.